Come on, run.
GameX Podcast.
Yes, welcome to the Game Manx Podcast. This is the official game podcast of BrooklynKing.com. This is episode 159. Today is January 22nd, 2011, and I'm your host, Brooklyn, coming to you from Atlanta, USA. Also on the podcast, I have none other than Scatino, a.k.a. Scat. Coming to you live from Manchester, UK.
What up?
And we're back, you know, another week or whatever. So, lots to talk about this week, definitely. We have Trine 2, another look at that, and a more, I guess, in-depth analysis of Rayman Origins. Resident Evil 6, that new trailer, we'll be talking about that. Resident Evil Revelations demo that came out for 3DS. The new Uncharted maps, map pack that dropped. Azura's Wrath demo and Kingdoms of Amalur. So we have quite a bit to get through. Let's try to see if we can get Talon back on this call. Let's see if that could do that. So yeah, it's all good. So, Talon, are you there?
I'm trying to be there, buddy. I'm sure I'll be kicked out.
Okay, well, we can hear you now. We just started the podcast. We have a special guest, hopefully. Talon, C. Talon. So it's kind of a rare treat. So, I guess let's get to what you wanted to talk about, Talon. I guess you played the Trine 2 game or whatever. What did you think?
I tried to play it and think it's I don't know. It's not my sandwich.
Why? What's up? Okay, I'm not sure if that meant the call dropped or what. He said it's not his sandwich. So I don't know. I personally thought it was okay. I didn't really think it was that great or whatever. Oh, he said, y'all too painting too much? It doesn't sound... Talon didn't sound robotic to me at all, though, actually.
Oh, shit. Both of y'all sounded that way to me when he jumped on the car.
Oh, really? Nah, he sounded perfectly fine to me, you know. Oh, whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Trine 2 to me was kind of boring. Or whatever. Let me try to add Talon back to the call. Let's see. He was sounding pretty good. He sounded regular. Or whatever. Anyway, while we see if he's going to get back on, I could just quickly, I guess, get into Rayman Origins, because that's what I wanted to... I mean, I've been playing a lot of that, pretty more than anything else this week. This past week, and I think the first couple stages are really slow going, because you don't really have all your powers, you know, you get powers as you go through the levels, you save these fairies, and they give you a power or whatever every time you save one, but you know what it reminds me of? Rayman Origins reminds me of those moments playing Super Mario Brothers. Like the first Super Mario Brothers, even up to the third, even up to more maybe Super Mario World, where you were so good at it that you kind of always held down the run button. You know, when you play Super Mario Brothers and you hold down the run button and you're just bouncing around and running and platforming? That's what Rayman Origins is like. Like, if you could think about that feeling of how you feel playing Super Mario Brothers with the run button held down and how good that felt of just being that, like, the agility of it, of what you could do. That's kind of how Rayman Origins is for most of the part. For most of the game, you span holding down the run button and jumping from through the level, you know? Platforming and rebounding off walls to grab on things and jumping off that. And it's really fun and fast, and, like, it requires skill. Like, whenever you, like, I don't think I ever die in that game and feel like I was cheated. Like, I always feel like, damn, I shouldn't have did that, you know, or I made a split second decision that was bad. And you could die, like, there's places where I'm dying over and over, but I'm never mad at the game because it's really always my fault. And as soon as I do the wrong thing, even sometimes split seconds before I die, I'm like, fuck, you know, why did I do that? And then, so I don't really get frustrated with the game itself. I don't ever feel like it's a design problem or whatever. So, but yeah, I would recommend it highly. I think it's like, it's gorgeous. The levels change up a lot, and as you get the new powers, it adds more dimensions to the types of ways that you platform. So I think that the demo early on didn't give you enough of that because they don't give you all of the powers, you know? There's some stuff that you can do that you don't get a chance to check out in the demo. And I just didn't get to see all that. So, but once I got the game, it's like, oh, wow, you know? They really combine all of these different types of platforming. Like the stage where you can kind of, there's the winds gusting, and you gotta, like, you get the power to float. Almost like Mario's cape, right? Like, when you get the cape in Mario, how you can kind of, like, ride the wind or whatever. It's a different take on that, but with this, you hold the run button and the wind can kind of sail you around obstacles and stuff. So it's kind of interesting how it's like a remix of a Mario platformer, but it feels way more modern to me. Like, it feels more modern than New Super Mario Brothers did, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like there's more variety than I felt like when I played New Super Mario Brothers, and that was a pretty good game. I tried co-op too, and co-op is fun, but it's the game gets so hard so quick that I don't think novice players are going to be able to, like, keep up, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's just, it takes so much dexterity to be able to play it. I just don't see it. Or whatever. So.
But, do you know what you completely forgot as well?
What?
Before we started the podcast?
What?
For you to talk about your PlayStation Vita event.
Oh, yeah.
The PlayStation Vita event that you went to.
I told you I had a funny-ass story about that, too. So, yeah, in Atlanta last week, Wednesday, there was a PlayStation Vita event, and it's literally on my way home from work. So they had it on, like, a major street downtown Atlanta, and I live downtown. So I saw it on some website, and I was like, okay. So I looked at the PlayStation blog, and they had, you know, they have an Vita event, and I had just seen those videos of Wipeout 2048 online, and I was kind of like, fuck it, I want to go play that shit, right? Because they didn't have that. I wasn't able to play that when I was at E3, so that was like the one game I haven't played that they have demos for. So I went to the event. It started at like 5:30, right? So I got there at like 5, because I just leave work around 5 sometimes to go to. Usually I go to the gym, but I was like, let me go to this event. So I get there, park, walk around the corner, and they basically rented out this place, and there was a line. So I was like, fuck, you know? And I walk up to the line, and I'm like, yo, I immediately feel way out of place. Like, I just don't feel like, I felt like I don't belong there. Like, why am I standing here? You know, like, and that's kind of when I was like, it started to hit me. I was like, you know what? Like, my hobby interest is definitely, like, I felt like, I don't know, dude. It was weird. Like, most of the people who were online were like teenagers. There was a couple people in there like mid-20s. None of them looked like they had a job. I would say out of like 20 people online, maybe 3 of them looked like they had a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I had on like a blazer, a button-up shirt, you know, and some, like, I guess you would call them trousers in Great Britain. Oh, whatever. You know, so I had on, like, black trousers, a black blazer, a button-up shirt, or whatever. You know.
Practically a suit.
Yeah, like business attire. And I walk up to this line, and there's, like, dudes with, like, hoodies on and, like, skull caps. And piercings and shit, and I'm like, yo. So I feel like I'm standing there, and I'm like, yo, this, it felt so jarring to me that I was like, yo, it made me reevaluate my hobby. I was like, yo, am I too old to be playing games? Like, I literally had that moment where I was like, yo,
what the fuck am I doing?
What the fuck am I doing here? Because obviously, like, most of the people there were, like, younger than me. I would say I was probably, like, one of the oldest people there, save for maybe 2 other people. And we all looked at each other in the eyes like, what are we doing here? It was bugged the fuck out. And I was like, shit, this is bugged the fuck out. Granted, the people at work there were probably my age, right? Like, the people who worked at PlayStation were my age, because I talked to one of the dudes who works on the blog or whatever. But so I saw the line, and I stood there for like 2 minutes, and I asked one of the dudes who was on the line, and I was like, yo, are they letting people in or what? And he was like, yeah, they're like, you know, kind of like letting 3 in at a time or 2 in at a time. And it was a wait, and it was kind of cold that day. So I walked right back around the block. There was this bar that looked really cool, and I never really knew the bar was there. So I went to the bar, and I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna just go have some drinks, because it looked like all of the people that were gonna show up had already showed up. You know, like, the line was, as I stood there for a couple minutes, no one else was coming to the line. So I figured that all of the enthusiast people that were gonna go to the event were online or inside.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna go have some drinks, and then by the time I come back, there won't be a line, and I'll just walk right in, you know? So, because it was like from 5 to 10 or something like that, right? So, or 5 to 9. So I walk around the block, go have some drinks and shit and some food, and come back tipsy, and there was no line. It was literally one person in front, talking to the dude who worked for Sony, and I walked, and it was like 3 of them standing there, and one dude asked him, so yeah, are the Vita games gonna be priced less if they're the digital versions? And the dude who worked for Sony was like, well, we haven't announced that pricing stuff yet. And I was like, come on, man, it's gonna be the same fucking price, like.
We ain't gonna tell you shit.
Right, I'm like, dude,
without a pre-order today.
Come on, like, if you think it's gonna be cheaper online than it is in the stores, you're fucking smoking crack, because it was the same price for PSP, and even the regular games are the same price. They only drop it in the store once the, like, limited edition, and not the limited editions, you know, those Game of the Year editions or the re-release versions, platinum hits, or whatever the fuck they're calling it, come out. So, and the dude from Sony looked at me. It was kind of funny, though. So I walked in, I was like, hey, I just walked in, and they had, like, drawings to get a free whatever, and I didn't win anything. But I got a t-shirt, So I played Wipeout for like 15, 20 minutes. I played like 3 tracks. It was dope. I think one of the reasons why... What? Oh, yeah, but let me get back to it. So, yeah, but anyway, before I even get into Wipeout. So, yeah, I felt like even the vibe of the people in the event, I felt like I didn't quite belong in that event, you know? So it was kind of odd. It was kind of odd. And you know what? I felt that way before, but I think it's never really felt that pronounced to me. Like, I've been to some Fight Club events where I felt like all of the people online didn't have jobs or were in students or whatever. And, you know, a couple of those events I was able to get in as media. I think the last one I went to in Atlanta, when they had Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I got in as media, so I didn't give a fuck, you know? But, yeah, so I'm at a point where I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to be going to those types of events anymore, you know? Like, is it because people who are my age or a little bit on the older end that plays games, I think it's more so that we don't really care about all of that I need to know right now type shit, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to. Because it's like, you know what? The game comes out in, what, 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks, maybe, even? 4 weeks, something like that? It's the 15th of February?
Well, if you pre-order it for the week early version.
Oh, so it's like 4 weeks.
Otherwise, it's the 22nd.
Okay, so it's like a month from now. I think people who are a little bit older, who play games maybe like mid to late 20s, 30s, and beyond, I think they have... They're just like, fuck it, I'm gonna just wait it out. You know, they're not pressed as much. I think that's what it comes down to, patience. And just other shit going on, you know? So I don't know. I just, that was just really striking to me. This guy is laughing and shit. Yeah, you know? Seriously. I don't think I'm gonna be doing that shit anymore. I'm like, fuck that shit, dude. It's because, you know what, also they treat the people that come out like it's like a reverse attitude. It's almost part of the reason why, like, the kind of parties that I used to go to when I was in college, I don't go to anymore, a lot of them, because they treat you like they're doing you a favor, you know? Like, oh, you lucky to be on, like, you lucky to be online coming to their party. And I think once you get to a certain age, you realize that they need your business, you know? Like they should make sure that the line is quick and that you get in and you're warm and all that. But I don't feel like, I feel like a lot of those, like, gaming events, they don't really see it that way. They think, like, they approach it. And I've seen it in a couple of those Capcom fight clubs where the line is down the block and it's like, some of the attitude of some of the PR people are kind of like, they don't really, you know, it's kind of like they feel like they're doing you a favor type shit, not like you're a consumer or a customer, like you're their customer, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, the event I went to as an event, it sucked ass. You know, it was only good because obviously I got to play the Vita, but they didn't even have no bathrooms in that fucking shit. You know, they had no place to go to the toilet. Well, they did, but it was behind a door that said staff only.
See,
so
what I'm...
When my little cousin needed to go to the toilet for a piss, he asked one of the dudes, could he go? And the guy said, yeah, it's through there. And then he come back out, and then the manager or someone of the event, like, had a go at this guy, saying, it's staff only behind there. It's staff only behind there. You know, don't be letting other people in. It's like,
right.
Dude had to go for a piss. There's no other facilities in this building. Where's he supposed to go?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like, dude, man, guy's going for a piss, man.
Because they could care less. That's what I'm saying. Like, that whole attitude about, you know, it's kind of fucked up, really. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's part of the attitude, like having people stand outside and all that shit or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and the event started at like 10 a.m. but obviously because on the outside it was all like glass panes and everything, so you could see right in, and dudes were just stood about doing nothing, talking, and they saw that we were all stood outside in the cold. And it's like, why not just invite us in? Okay, we're not allowed to touch anything just yet, but at least let us in from the fucking cold.
Right.
And they're all stood outside just waiting. It's like, what is the point in that? You know, that's
right.
That shit's annoying. And what makes it even worse is that they actually had the door open anyway, but you weren't allowed to step foot inside.
Right.
And it's like, I'm stood out here freezing my fucking balls off.
That's a problem with games.
Y'all dudes ain't even got the hospitality to invite us in out of the cold.
Right. It's a problem with gaming events, dude. I'm boycotting a lot of that shit. Fuck that. But anyway, so I did get to play Wipeout, though, and I think they said it was open. It might have been open the whole week. I think she said it was through the 20-something. So it was basically renting out that place, and you could go back for like a week and check it out. So I probably could have went today, but I was like, fuck it. You know, like, how much of a fucking demo can you play, right? So, but the Wipeout bit, they had quite a bit of, you know, content for you to try out. I love the tracks. I thought that the menu system was really well done, right? The presentation, I think it's easier because it seemed like the tracks were wider, which I don't think is bad at all. I think that's a smart move for them to make, because I think the tracks in HD are a little narrower, so it's easier to hit the edges, you know? Yeah. So I think they tweaked that design a little bit, and I think it's for the better, you know? So I think the new tracks are really well done, really well done. I would love for them to, like, have some type of update for the PS3 version. I mean, they're going to have to patch it next month, because they're going to have to patch in the whole cross-play stuff. It would be nice if they threw in a couple tracks or something, you know?
But will they be patching it through, or is it going to be a standalone release?
They're going to patch it. They've announced it's going to patch. It's going to work with the regular version.
Right.
They can't afford that.
The PS3 version is going to be a separate release from HD.
No. Oh, you think it's a PS3 version of 2048? No.
Yeah, because I asked a dude when I was playing it. I said, oh, so is this just like Wipeout HD on the PS3? And they told me, no, it's going to be a separate release.
On PSN?
It's going to be different to HD. Yeah, there's going to be the PSN version for the Vita.
Right.
But obviously the PS3 version.
No, that's not what they're doing. They're going to have the Wipeout 2048 that works on Vita will be on PSN. But it's a digital download for Vita. But they're going to patch Wipeout HD to cross-play with Vita.
Right. Well, that's better.
Yeah. Because they don't have enough people online to, like, warrant, you know? You know. I wouldn't mind a new game, I guess, if it had 10 new tracks on PS3 and HD. But
so did you get
that.
To try out the cross-platform play?
Yeah, I did, because they had somebody playing it there, and it worked fine. I mean, you know. It was what it was.
Right?
Yeah. I think I'm gonna play the shit out of that game.
And I pre-ordered my Wipeout today.
Oh, really?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I had pre-ordered it for Amazon, but I canceled it. I'm gonna just buy the digital version. I'm gonna buy the digital version of all of those games first, and then when the regular card version goes on clearance, I'm gonna just buy copies, you know? I'm gonna do it that way. I realized that the other day. I was like, I'm just gonna buy the digital versions, and then buy the disc copies when it gets cheap. Cause the prices of those are gonna drop. So, fuck it.
Yeah, they'll drop. But for some reason in the UK, They're not selling the 32 gig cards. It only goes up to 16 over here. I don't know why.
Damn.
So I don't want to be buying all those digital versions, depending just on how big the sizes are and shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just have it on the actual retail copy.
I saw on NeoGAF they had like a list of the sizes of the launch games. I think like Uncharted was the biggest at like 2 point something, and most of them were like up to a gig. Most of them were like 500, 800, a gig and a half, I think.
Yeah.
I think Wipeout was like a gig or something like that. They're not that big.
Yeah. I mean, because like, a 16 gigabyte card is like how they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really going to get 16 gigabytes out of it, are you? Not
true.
Exactly.
True.
You're going to get like maybe 13 or 14. And then, you know, between a gig and 2 gigs per game, plus see if you want music and movies and shit on there.
Right.
I'd just get a retail copy. Unless it is an actual PSN specific game like Super Stardust.
I don't know. I'm getting a 32 gig card and all my shit is gonna fit on the card. That's my strategy. Fuck swapping
I'm
discs.
Make that shit fit.
fuck swapping cards. Worrying about losing them and all that, cases for cards and shit. I want to be able to throw my shit in my bag or my duffel bag or my knapsack or my suitcase and not have to fucking worry about all that bullshit. Because you already got to worry about the charger and all that bullshit. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm only going to
So after playing the Vita again with Wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still a day one purchase?
Yeah.
Are you feeling, eh?
Wipeout has sold me on it, you know? But I still do think that the X button is way too close to that stick, dude. You have to almost hit the X button from a straight angle, top down. Like, you have to angle your thumb in a way where you're literally pressing it dead on. Like, you have to arch your thumb in that kind of a way. It's really weird. I don't even know. I think that was just poor placement, like, on their part, you know? They could have at least made the X button, like, or the right thumbstick a little bit more to the left to where you could actually rest your thumb vertically flat, you know, under it.
Yeah.
But you can't even do that. Like, you can't have your thumb lined up with the top of your thumb touching the X button and then have your finger just resting vertically on the device, because the thumbstick is literally right under the X button. It's fucking retarded. That's a really bad design decision, but I don't know. It's just kind of poor. It's bad. We'll see. But yeah, I'm gonna get it. I'm still on it. It's Wipeout, man.
Hell yeah.
You already know. So, let's do the news. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, anyway. We could do the news. Let's do the news.
Fight, fight, boom! Game news this week.
Game news this week. Resident Evil 6 was announced. That was some pretty big news this week. Scat's favorite series. One of Scat's favorite series.
Used to be.
Oh, really?
Until they fucked shit up with Resident Evil 5.
Yeah. What were your biggest problems with Resident Evil 5?
Just the fact that it was far too more action orientated.
It was.
The fact that you had Sheva as your partner fucked shit up.
Oh, that's true too.
The fact that her AI was bullshit, so she was always dying. You always had to use your fucking first aid kits and shit on her. The fact that the game was set, you know, in broad daylight, and it took all that fucking atmosphere and tension away from it. Man, fuck that.
Damn.
Shit ruined it. I mean, Resident Evil 4 was a lot more action-orientated, but because Leon was on his own, and he you know, it was set within, like, you know, the evening time and shit was dark and whatnot. You know, it still was able to create that tension and that atmosphere. You know, right. He was still alone, even though he had that bitch on the other end of the earpiece or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you only had to worry about yourself. You only had to worry about yourself surviving until, obviously, you were looking after the president's daughter, but using up all your medikits and all that on dumbass AI like Sheva, nah, they fucked that shit up. And it seemed to me they were really going after the, you know, the fans of the shooters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Made it far too much. And this Resident Evil 6, I mean, the trailer looked dope. I mean, they made a fantastic trailer.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, for an announcement trailer as well, there was gameplay in there, a lot of the story elements. You know, it was a really well done trailer. But I've still got a lot of apprehensions about it. Because it seems like the game is going to consist of three different types of gameplay. Because you've got three playable characters. First of all, Leon. If you notice in the beginning of the trailer, he seems to be, you know, walking around those creepy ass corridors mm-hmm. and shit. So that looks more like it's going to be a lot more survival horror. And then you've got Chris Redfield's section, which is a lot more action, like Resident Evil 5. And then you've got this new dude.
Yeah, the new dude who
seems.
He has some type of, like, super blood that they need to protect, I guess. That's what I got from the trailer.
Yeah, and probably he does a lot of running away shit from that big-ass thing that's with him.
So he's probably, like, a Wesker type of dude that has some type of super power.
Yeah. But, I mean, rumors are circulating that blonde girl who's in the trailer with him, mm-hmm. that's Sherry Birkin. From Resident Evil 2, she was a young girl of William Birkin, who was like the villain, and you had to protect her, like Claire was trying to protect her in Resident Evil 2, but now it looks like she's all grown up, but she might need still a bit more protecting, so that could be what his part is to play in the game, or something like that. Mm. I don't know. I mean, like I say,
it's too early to tell. Yeah.
It's too early to tell.
It's way too early.
I do hope they've learned from that shit. I mean, they've put a cover system into the game. You know? It's like, I don't know.
It could go anyway.
You know? It could go anyway.
Because controls is what.
I was watching the trailer.
Controls is one of the biggest problems with Resident Evil 5. They tried to make it an action game with archaic controls that weren't action ready, right? Wasn't ready for an action game. So, I don't know. That's why I'm like, I don't really have any hype level for it because I finished Resident Evil 5, but halfway through I was like, just playing it to beat it, you know? So,
yeah.
It wasn't.
I mean, like I say, Resident Evil 4, obviously, it was a lot more action-orientated, but the controls in that game still worked for what it was.
Right.
Whereas Resident Evil 5 was a lot more fast-paced, and you get overrun by the creatures a lot quicker, and the controls just didn't suit it whatsoever.
Right.
You know?
Part 4 was about conserving your ammo and being deliberate about what you do and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it was more strategy, thought, and deliberate.
Oh. Yeah, but like you say, at this point it could go either way. But I'm more interested to see Leon's side of the story.
Yeah,
that's the side that looks a lot more not action, survival, horror sort of thing.
Right.
So
we'll see.
But yeah. That comes out November, or that's what they're looking to release it during.
It's going to get delayed. It's not coming out November.
I know. I don't know why they fucking put these dates on.
And
I mean, it's not even like June, November. It's like June, November the 20th, an exact date. you know.
They probably do that to get the developers in line. Like, you gotta finish this shit. But, like, something is gonna, Call of Duty, whatever, is gonna come out in November and push it back.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 5B, whatever the fuck it's gonna be called. And then they're gonna fucking, it's like, oh, we can't drop it in Modern Warfare.
We're gonna drop
it. Or Halo 5 is gonna drop and then they're gonna push it back. You know?
Yeah, but Halo 4 comes out in the holiday season, don't it? So they'll probably push it back, I think, to March.
Yeah, it's not gonna come out when a Halo game or whatever the fuck is gonna come out. Cause you know Halo's gonna, the new Halo's gonna come out, what is it, 4 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 is gonna come out November. So, Capcom be on some bullshit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need more people. So, let's let's take a quick break, and then we could come back and talk about, do a spotlight on the Resident Evil Revelations demo. Yeah, let's do that. Take a quick break. Okay, and we're back. Quick break. That was like a minute. So, I guess since we're still on Resident Evil, let's do Resident Evil. So, let's spotlight that.
Iger, uppercut.
Game spotlight.
So, 3DS. Resident Evil Revelations.
3DS. Yes. And Resident Evil Revelations. Now, Resident Evil Revelations, the demo, I was very, very impressed with. And yeah, it seems with this one that they are trying to take it back a lot more to the horror side of it, you know, and being able to create that tension and the atmosphere in it. And like Jill, the part of the demo that I actually played, like Jill is on the cruise liner and she wakes up in this cabin. She has no clue how she got there, so, and it's not actually spoke about like why she is there. But then she gets on a radio thing to a partner who is called Parker. Now, the thing about Parker that I've been reading is that although parts of the game are set with him by your side, he's not going to become a hindrance to you because he can look after himself and he pretty much can't die, so you don't have to be wasting all your health packs and shit on him, you know, and worrying about that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are different sections in the game as well, obviously. There's other settings other than the cruise liner. But yeah, I was just really impressed with the demo. Shit looks great. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
So is it third really person does. Or is it top view down? Like, what's the, what type of?
No, it's your tip. Well, it's your new style Resident Evil with a camera just behind the back. You know, like Resident Evil 4, Resi 5.
So like third
so
person.
So it's like that.
Yeah, like Uncharted. Uncharted, but zoomed in really big, right behind the back of the character.
Yeah, it zoomed in right behind her.
But, so kind of like when you're playing Uncharted and you zoom in to shoot somebody.
Yeah, but not that much.
Oh.
Just think of how zoomed in it is on the character in Resident Evil 4 and 5, and that's how it is in Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the over-the-shoulder view, basically. You have the option to either aim in first person or third person. So that's a good little addition they've made. Because obviously on the smaller screen, you need to see as much as possible. So it's good that they added that. And the 3D in it, the 3D is fantastic. Not only do you have the 3D from the actual hardware side, where you push the slider right up, but within the actual game, in the options menu, you can set how much depth you want. And it's like three settings, so you've got the normal setting, and how it'll look with the slider right up. But then you've got the strong setting and the very strong, and that just creates added levels of depth to it. So it really does immerse yourself into this like world, you know. It really does look good. It's some of the best 3D I've seen on the system, and graphics are by far the best on the system up to this point. The demo was only short, and it ends like on a cliffhanger, but you know, it does what a demo to me is supposed to do. It makes you want to play more of it, you know. And when it ended, I was like, no, I want to play more. And I've ended up playing the demo a good 5 times, you know, since I downloaded it on Friday. So I'm definitely looking to the full release. It has been getting some good reviews. People have been saying some good things about it, so I'm looking forward to it. The whole Circle Pad Pro thing as well. Obviously, it's going to be the first game that's compatible with that. But from what I played of the demo, obviously without the Circle Pad, you don't really need that attachment. You know, I think it may add a tiny bit more to the experience, but it doesn't seem like a necessity. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't like not buy the game if you have no intention of buying the Circle Pad either. So what else was there? Yeah, like I said, it was just really well done, and it's just made me want to play the full release even more. So that comes out in the UK on Friday, and I think it comes out in the US the week after that. So UK get its first. So definitely look out for that one.
So that's, I guess that's looking good. What else do we have on the agenda? We have, okay, so Uncharted maps or whatever, those dropped. The, what is it called? Flashback? Was it the, Flashback pack or map pack or the classic,
yeah,
something?
Yeah, the flashback.
Flashback.
Something. The flashback.
Map pack 1.
Something like that.
Yeah, and it has, was it 2 maps?
4? Yeah.
So it has the ice caves that's not iced anymore. It has the fort, right? That
yeah,
has,
that's a fort.
But the fort is redone, and is like, how's the fort different? Is it raining? Something like that. Oh,
yeah,
they're all different.
Was it
right?
Raining? Yeah,
they all have different.
Well, they've all got different weather effects. On
right, it's like the opposite of what it used to be. So if it was snowy, it's not snowy, and if it's, you know, if it was snowy, it's not, and if it wasn't, then it is snowy. It's weird. So, but it looks really good, though. The maps look really good. I just, that game, I have to play it in hardcore mode. Like, I can't, I hate the, all of that meta bullshit they added to Uncharted 3 multiplayer, man. All of that, all of the kickbacks and the weapon mods and all that shit. the all of those unlockable perks and all that shit to me is annoying as fuck, man. It's like a separate job just to know what you have to do to like be able to compete, man. Because like all of the people who I get matched up against are like level 72, and they all have all of these mods on their guns, and they could zoom in on their with their guns, and they have super large clips and all of these other weapon mods, and you don't stand a chance. Like if you don't play the game all day, and you're like me, and you just maybe you didn't play it in like a couple months or weeks or whatever, and you don't play it a lot, you play it maybe for an hour, a couple hours a week, like it's not fun. Like it's not fun. It's not fun because you get owned, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they're alienating so many people for a large vocal hardcore minority that it pisses me off to a degree. But luckily they do have that hardcore mode where basically it's just like just guns, right? Like there's nothing else in the game besides the guns you pick up in levels, right? So everybody starts out with the same shit, and kind of like the way Halo was, right? Everybody starts off even, and it's all about skill and knowing the map and being able to play. Like that's kind of, once I switched to that mode, I started having more fun. But playing it in the regular mode, it just sucks. And then you have all of this shit on the screen and like all of these icons and symbols, and it's just distracting. It's like a whole different game, or whatever. So the funny thing about that was that I was listening to David Jaffe, the dude that produced God of War, the original God of War, whatever. And he guess he has that Twisted Metal game coming out in a couple weeks, right? 2 weeks, I think. So, but he was on Weekend Confirmed, that podcast, and he was talking about how, you know, they call it persistence or whatever, like how people nowadays, because of Call of Duty, expect persistence in games, which is basically like XP and ranking up stuff, and like it's kind of like that carrot on the stick to kind of keep you coming back or whatever, like to keep you hooked by saying, okay, if you have the incentive to need XP to unlock a special whatever it is in the game, it's going to keep you keeping the game longer and engaged with the game longer. And it does work for Call of Duty, right? Like, you have to grind in that game to get the guns that you really need to be competitive, right? You need to be able to get those, to unlock those perks, to be able to, like, have the whatever, you know, extra armor or whatever, you know, those super guns. And I think because that game is so successful, a lot of other companies are like retrofitting the next versions of their games to have those kind of features. But I don't think it really works. I think it fucks up games like Uncharted, where the Uncharted 2 multiplayer was so good because it was just like Halo was, right? Like, it was fair and clean and easy. It wasn't too much. It wasn't too complicated. Like now, I think they just added all of these
bare bones. Yeah, but it was fun.
Right. But it was fun because the moment to moment gameplay was fun. It wasn't fun because you had to unlock stuff, or you know, you played it because it was fun moment to moment. You didn't play it because you felt like you needed to be rank 40 or 30 to unlock this extra character, you know? And what David Jaffe was saying, that if you took a game, you take a game like Call of Duty, and you peel off those layers of like meta games, like the meta parts of it, which is like the layers that they add of the XP and the perks and the challenges and all of those little meta things that are not really the game itself. If you really peel back those things, the game is really not, it's not that great. Like, the moment-to-moment experience of Call of Duty is not that great, you know? And even, like, maybe even a Battlefield, like, you really, if you really think about it, you run out there, you die, you have to, like, wait to respawn, then you have to run back, you know, like, that moment-to-moment, you spend more time getting ready to engaged than you do engaged.
Yeah.
But people really are into that meta more so. So he was just saying, you know, and you see a lot of games like Uncharted now. Like, look how much time you spend worrying about kickbacks and finding the little treasure and looking at, you know, like, you're not even really spending as much time on the actual climbing and traversal and jumping and, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're spending more time worrying about finding the better weapon and all those meta things. So, I think that was fucked it up for me.
I totally agree, and I think Call of Duty has a lot to answer for in the way it really has changed gaming over the past, what, four years? You know, and yeah, I think it's just got a lot to answer for, because a lot of companies are just trying to change their game to try and recreate what Call of Duty does, and not necessarily does it
make the game better
in a better way.
Right.
It doesn't make the game better.
It detracts from the game. Because if you really think about it, they added all of those perks to keep you hooked. It's kind of a artificial way to keep you from being bored, you know? It's something else to do that's not the core game. But if you think about it, why is the core game not made to be the central focal point, you know? And it's like, I want to play the game. I want to play the game where what you do moment to moment is the best thing and the funnest thing. And like, it's so fun, I don't care about whatever else. And I think that's why Rayman Origins is so great, right? Because like, there's a meta. The meta game in that would be getting those coins, getting all of those like out of the way coins to be 100% complete the levels. But if you think about moment to moment what you're doing in the traversal of the jumping and platforming, it's so fun that you don't really need all of those other layers of stuff, you know? There's really not that many layers to it. There's the different characters that you can pick. There's the different coins that you need to get to complete the whole, like, 100% completeness, and that's pretty much it. Uncharted 3, if you think about it.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you can still progress within the game and still have a fantastic time without all that other shit.
Right.
Whereas in Call of Duty, if you're not upgrading your weapons and you're not doing anything like that, then it remains just a mediocre experience.
Yeah, or it's even worse. Everyone else has those things and you get penalized for not keeping up, right? So you're matchmaked with people who are level 80s and level 70s and like in a level 10 or 5, you don't have a chance, you know? You don't have all the armor and all of the super scoped weapons that have the like range and the power, you know? It's like you get penalized. It's horrible. It's pretty bad, but so I think Uncharted is like that too. So, but that's my complaint with it. But the new maps are dope, though, or whatever. But anyway, I kind of went off. But that's it's kind of interesting that he was able to, I guess, as a game designer, identify what that specific thing is, you know, or whatever. So yeah, played that. Played Azura's Wrath, that demo. That shit is just quick times events. It's like, wasn't that good. The art style is pretty good. Like, the style of the game is good, but it's like a bunch of quick time events. Move the analog stick left at this time and press triangle and it shows you the button prompts and stuff. It's like, it looked like it could have had potential though, but it doesn't seem like the combat is fun, you know? It looked like it could be like one of those like games that's kind of like, maybe it's probably more so like, what's that game called, Enslaved, than it is
I think it was on Destructoid, where they described the demo as Dragon's Lair.
Oh, really?
It was something like, yeah, it was something like Jim's Asura's Wrath demo impressions, and it was like a one-liner, and it just said, Dragon's Lair. that's all it was, that's what he said.
Yeah, because it's like cinematic, there's a cinematic, and then it's something happens in a cinematic, and it's like a big icon that says press triangle, and then you press triangle, and then it's another cinematic, and he does this big thing, and he runs up the guy, and he jumps, and then it's like press X, and you press X, and then it's cinematic, and it's press X, and it's press X. It's like, oh god, it's like, you know, that's like what Dragon's Lair was. So it's like, who wants that? So,
Who's making that game? Is it
Capcom
who's doing that game? There you go.
Capcom has a new podcast.
Bullshit.
I heard they have a new podcast. They just had the first episode a few days ago. I want to check it out. I heard it was kind of good.
Yeah, I saw that shit on Facebook. Facebook it as well. I didn't listen to it though.
I heard they talk about Street Fighter X Tekken and stuff like that. So, might be interesting. I'm interested in that game if it has lobbies. If it doesn't have lobbies, I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to just boycott it. I'm saying that right now. Throwing down the gauntlet.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have lobbies, I'm not buying it.
They introduced some new characters, or revealed some new characters, like this week or last week.
Yeah,
and the game looks great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing it, but it needs lobbies. You know, they can't do Marvel versus Capcom and not have proper lobbies and spectating, and then re-release the game again in 8 months' time.
Yeah, because I will say this: if they release Street Fighter X Tekken and it doesn't have lobbies, you know, in 8 months they're gonna drop the Super Ultimate version with lobbies. So I'm just gonna wait for that shit. Fuck it. Fool me once, Capcom. Yeah. You know. You already know. Tired of that shit. Tired of that shit. So that's all I got for this week, man. I did have one incident this last week, or yesterday, where I lived out a moment, a gaming moment ever since I was a little kid. I had a moment where, might as well just tell a story. I had to go to a funeral yesterday. So one of my friends, who I worked with, she died a week ago or whatever. So she had cancer. It was really unexpected, and like about a year ago, they gave her like 8 months to live, and she lasted like about a year. Like, she literally, I was on vacation, and she was at a meeting, and she threw up, and it was blood, and then she went to the hospital, and they told her she had colon cancer, and she was like 40, something like that. So, but she was like, you know, beautiful, like, she used to work on ESPN as, like, you know, really hot aerobics instructor, dude, head turner type chick, you know? So she was like one of the most fit people I know. Like, literally fit. So when she had cancer, I was like, wow, really? So she was going through her treatments, whatever, and died a week ago. And so they had her funeral, and her funeral was out of state, so I had to drive to her funeral. But I had just got a new car about 2 weeks ago. So I was like, I typically don't like driving. I'm not a big road trip type of person, so I got a new car, so I was like, fuck it, right? her funeral was yesterday, and it was a 3-hour drive. And I had to wake up super early to get there because it was like it started at 10 in the morning and it was just like weird time difference, right, of an hour or whatever. So it was pouring rain yesterday in the morning down here, like pouring rain. Like I haven't seen it rain like that in like a long time. Like literally, it's the, have you ever been driving or in a car and it's raining so hard that cars start pulling over to the side and they won't drive? Yeah. Have you ever seen that shit? Where it's like literally you can't see in front of you, it's raining so hard, where it's just like cars put their hazards on and like it was like that. And we're like on this super highway where it's like the minimum speed is like 70 miles per hour or whatever. So it's like cars were pulling over and like it's raining and there's lightning and thunder. And I'm like, this is some shit, right? Because I feel like her whole, the fact that she died is really like one of those movie type of like some shit out of a movie, you know? Like she had like the perfect family, like beautiful woman, cool husband, attractive couple, have like a daughter and a son. They're both like 7 and 8, you know, two little beautiful kids, you know, beautiful young couple. Wife dies tragically of cancer. Husband has to raise the kids, right? Isn't that like a movie? Right? Yeah. It's like a movie, right? So I'm thinking that and I'm like, this is some movie shit, right? And then I'm driving to the funeral and it's like, I'm like, come on, man. Is it going to be like a rainy day funeral? Like, like, that's some movie shit. So I'm driving to the funeral and it's pouring and thunder and I finally get there and I'm in the funeral and she has this whole thing where it's like, it's a celebration of life, right? She didn't want people to be sad at her funeral or whatever. So it was all like she wanted it upbeat and people told stories about her and then she had these videos that she made that she wanted people to play if she died. So since she had time to plan it out, you know, she showed these videos that she made and all of this like footage of regular recording of stuff. Anyway, so during this thing, we're in this church and there's like these big stained glass windows and just like, as people are talking about her, it gets really bright in there. Like the sun, like the skies open up and the sunlight beams in this church. Like you can't even make this shit up. And I'm like, yo, this is some crazy shit. Cause if you've seen the type of storm that was outside in the morning and the type of sunlight that was beaming in that church as people talked about her, you would think that this shit was like a Hollywood production, but it wasn't. So, this shit is crazy, dude. Crazy. Crazy light. Like, you know when light comes in a room and you could see the rays of light? Like, you could see the rays of light shining in this place. Crazy. So, they, you know, they have the whole thing, and we leave, and, so we're leaving the whole thing, and I have lunch with some other ex-coworkers and friends and stuff. And I stop at a gas station to get some gas. And, yo, dude, this is, what, January? It was, like, 68 degrees outside. Warm, which is pretty warm. Sun is bright. You can't even tell it rained at all. Like, you can't even tell. And This is where I guess it has to do with games. So I've had this thing back when I was, other than Street Fighter, there are only a few games that I've really been like nuts about. And I guess a few of you guys know about it. Outrun is one of those games. Like, I've loved Outrun. That's like one of the games in the arcades where I used to beg my mom, like, yo, can I get a quarter to play Outrun? Cause you know, they had the one with, it was just the wheel and the wheel would shake when you flip over and shit and you would have to stand up and they had the gear shifter. Like I would play that shit. And that's before it even had the ones where you could sit in it. So Outrun has been like one of my favorite games ever, right? I had that shit on Sega Master System. I used to play the shit out of Outrun. Like, it's always been my dream to fucking just reenact that shit. And I had that moment. So I was at the gas station, and it was so nice outside, and the sun was out, and I had downloaded the soundtrack, the official OutRun, like, they had this, like, anniversary collection of the fucking, of the soundtrack. It was, like, 25 years of OutRun. That shit makes me feel old as shit, right? So that means it must have came out, I was, like, 10 years old or some shit. So, so I was like, oh, shit. And I was still, I was feeling this kind of way because I just came from my friend's funeral, and the last thing she said, because she put together this presentation, right? And it was talking about enjoying life and, you know, like, don't feel sad and just make the most of your life and kind of, you know how you feel when you go to a funeral and you start feeling like, you should enjoy your life type of shit, that kind of feeling? So yeah. The new car that I got is a drop top. So I got lucky. I lucked out. And I got a convertible hardtop, and I put the top down, dude, and I was driving down the highway playing this shit. And at that moment, dude, I was flying, dude. Serious. That shit was awesome. I've always wanted to do that shit. Ever since I was a kid, to have a drop top and drive playing this shit, dude. And I finally got to do it. It was so awesome. And I must have played this song like 4 times on the highway. And it was like one of those like interstate roads where it's just nothing but tractor trailers and cars, and I was just flying, dude. It was so awesome, dude. That was like a bucket list item I got to scratch off. So it couldn't have happened on a better day, dude. It was like eerily warm for January. It just, yo, this weekend there was a snowstorm, and there was not a snowstorm, but it was snowing in New York on Friday. So like the north is all like snowed out. And down here, it was been rainy, but except for yesterday, it was like bright and sunny. So that shit was awesome, dude.
Drifting around corners, dude. And shit.
I was zooming. People were. I was driving past, and people were like, "Look at this motherfucker." That shit was awesome, dude. Yeah, so I'm gonna definitely have to. What?
Oh, you're there loving it and shit.
Yeah, dude. I was smiling so wide, dude. Seriously?
I can picture it, man. That shit's hilarious.
Dude. That shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, not the. Anyway, so that's my story, but. So let's just get into what we've been playing.
Games we played this week.
Games we played this week. What say you, Scott?
You still. You know, I have no idea how we went from talking about Uncharted and Call of Duty to that story. I really don't know how we got into that.
I don't. How do we?
It's just random.
I don't know.
Oh, shit.
So yeah.
Hilarious. Oh. So games we've been playing.
Yeah, man.
So I did get to check out that Kingdoms of Amalur demo.
Mhm.
That's like a big action RPG. A big open world action RPG. It's got a couple of heavy hitters behind it, like people who worked on. I think one of the producers or someone works on Oblivion,
mm-hmm.
Elder Scrolls Oblivion. So it's definitely got some weight behind it. EA publish it and shit. It was pretty good, I must admit. The combat system in this game is a lot better than Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
So, whereas in Skyrim it feels like quite like floating shit, you know, there's not really much weight to it. In this one, it doesn't feel like that. It feels a lot better. It's like you have obviously your main weapon, which can like be a sword or an axe or some shit like that, and then you've got like a bow. You can do magic, and all of these are pretty much mapped to the face buttons, so you can swap between them on the fly and everything. Like you can use each one, whereas like in Skyrim you have to keep equipping shit and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, like I say, it seemed pretty good. The story was, I don't even know what the story was about. You start off as this guy who got killed in battle or some shit, and then he gets resurrected or whatever, and he sets out on this big journey and quest.
So it's an RPG.
Yeah, it's an RPG, so you do all that shit, you know, you get your experience, you level up, you're able to obviously build up your different stats and that, so increase your abilities with one-handed weapons, two-handed weapons, all of you, pretty much all those RPG elements that you get in games like Elder Scrolls and Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, all them are in it. So, but the art style of the game, it looked a lot more cartoony to me. It's been getting comparisons with Fable, so it's not like trying to be realistic, you know, or anything like that. And it was pretty good. I mean, like I say, if you like RPGs but you wasn't that big on the combat system of Skyrim, I'd definitely say maybe check this one out. There was quite a few graphical issues that I come across with the demo, though. There was a load of like popping, falling through the environments of that kind of shit. So I'm not exactly sure how old the build was of this game. Hopefully they patch that through and sort that shit out before its actual release in the next few weeks. But the map is huge. I mean, and the demo itself, if you want to download the demo, definitely check it out. There's a good like hour and a half of gameplay in the demo, because you start off in like the first dungeon, which basically acts like a tutorial, and then once you actually get out of the dungeon, the game says, right, you've got 45 minutes to do your quest lines and to explore the world, basically. So you can get as far as you want within that 45 minutes, and the timer will actually stop every time like you're talking to an NPC or you're in like the menus or stuff like that. So it'll only count down when you are actually within the game world and you're actually doing shit. So there is a big chunk of game there that you actually get to check out for the demo, which is nice because, you know, not a lot of demos really give you a lot of time to actually see shit and do shit. So that was good. I definitely want to check out the full release because I do enjoy RPGs. And yeah, like, just check the demo out. You know, sometimes demos actually give you a good idea of what the main game's going to be like.
Yeah.
So I'd check that one out. And I think it's always worth it with an RPG as well, because of how big they are and how many hours you could put into it.
Right.
I think maybe checking out a demo before you go dropping that kind of price is a good idea.
So what else have you been playing?
So I've been playing that. I've been obviously FIFA again. Been playing a lot of FIFA. The Resident Evil Revelations demo. What else been playing? Obviously Uncharted. And I think that's about it this week I've been playing it.
Oh, wow. So, I've been playing a lot of Rayman Origins. I've been playing Uncharted.
Good choice.
Yeah, I got that for 20. I think I ordered it during one of our podcasts. I think two podcasts ago, I ordered it. I've been playing Vanquish. I beat House of the Dead Overkill. I've got a Revited review coming for that. And Saints Row 2, I'm playing that. I haven't played that much of it, actually, since the last podcast. But I have been playing Gran Turismo 5, which is dope. So I think Wipeout, Rayman mostly, Gran Turismo, House of the Dead, Uncharted 3. That's pretty much all I've been playing. Mostly Rayman, actually, or whatever. And yeah, I want to play some more Saints Row. I just haven't had time to sit down and play it. I put in Battlefield, the PS3 version, and realized that I didn't download the Kirkland DLC. And then I tried to download it, and it froze my system. And by the time I got the system to reboot, because it had to do all these checks, I had to go do something else. So I didn't get a chance to fuck with that. But yeah,
that's what I wanted to ask you. Did you get to check out the demo for the new Grand Slam Tennis?
No, I didn't.
So,
is it a move-enabled demo?
Yeah, it's move-enabled, because I didn't download it because like the store was fucking up on me. I kept getting booted out. Mm-hmm. But when I was looking in the description, it did say that it was move-compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely wanting to check that out, considering, you know, Virtua Tennis was a bit of a letdown because you could only use it in that certain part of the game.
Yeah. But so, you know what, though? Honestly, yeah, about a week ago, I played Virtua Tennis with a friend here, and with, you know, Move, and it was fun. I mean, it's arcadey, you know? It was a cool game to play as an arcade type of experience with the motion. So it was cool, but it wasn't nothing that I would do myself. You know, it's not precise enough for my personal gaming taste, you know? I would probably, if I was playing it by myself, I would be analyzing what I'm doing more. And I think if it's in a party situation, it's still cool, but not as like a campaign or whatever. But yeah, I'll check out that demo for sure, because I've been using the Move a lot lately, actually, especially with House of the Dead, because that game has Move and 3D. It's pretty dope to have to use, actually. It's a good combination, actually. But I noticed that I have a couple friends who I've let try it, and I have, you know, like, some people are just not liking 3D. Like, they just gives them headaches, you know? You'll always have that one person that's like, they don't like it because they feel like it just, it's something about the way they see, I guess. I don't know, whatever, but it's fine for me, but whatever, so I don't know, but that's all I've been playing, so I'd recommend anybody who loved old school Mario games, get Rayman, and get to like level 2 at least. And once it starts to ramp up, the game is phenomenal, man. It's just, I haven't had that much fun with a game in a long time. I definitely, it deserves a lot of fucking praise. I also beat Sonic. Oh, dude, I played Sonic Generations and I finally beat that shit. I finally beat it, and the last boss was bitch. Yeah. The last boss was whack as fuck. Now I'm gonna play it off and on just to do some of the trials, I guess, which is fun. So that game is over. I've been trying to get through a lot of the games that I have to kind of like cross them off my list or whatever. So that's what I'm gonna be doing for the next couple weeks, is just trying to beat some of these games so I could get rid of it. I also bought Shadows of the Damned for PS3. I got it for like $7 from GameFly.
Right.
So it was like,
How is that game, right? Because I actually had it here on a rental, and I never actually put it in and played that shit.
It's good. It's like a Resident Evil 4 type of game. Like, it's from the same producer. It's Suda 7, Suda 51, and Mikami. It's it literally feels like Resident Evil 4 in the way you move around and shoot, and it has this weird humor to it. If you could get it for really cheap, buy it, because the music is great. It's entertaining. I just got it from Gamefly and got kind of far in it. I got like halfway through the game and then wanted to send it back because I had got some new games and I didn't want to, like, you know, I'm actually getting rid of my Gamefly account because I feel like I'm not renting enough games to justify how much I'm spending. So I think it's like I'm spending like $24 a month for the subscription, and I only really play maybe one game a month, really. Like, I really broke it down. I think I play like maybe two. So I'm like, I might as well just take the $50 every 2 months and buy full game, right? Like, shit, I could even take $25 and buy a budget title every year that dropped in price, you know? Like, and I'll own it. So I'm like, I might as well take that $25 and spend it on a discounted game instead of me just renting those games. So I'm going to close that subscription. Because I actually have Child of Eden coming back, because I rented that from Gamefly and never even played it because it just sat on my desk. And then I read some things recently about how it's so dope in 3D with the move. So
yeah.
I'm going to give that a shot and then cancel my subscription. And then, because I could take that $25 and buy Child of Eden, you know? So it's like, anyway, that's what I've been playing. That's kind of what I'm on right now. Oh, I was playing that. I started playing Batman a little bit. I just wanted to see how it would run on my PC, and it looks great, but I don't have time. Like, I have enough shit to play. Like, I haven't even started playing that shit. So I'm glad there's no games coming out for a while, dude. Seriously. I'm good.
Well, maybe for you, but my gaming season begins next week with Resident Evil Revelations. And then the week after is finally the release of Metal Gear Solid HD.
Oh, okay.
In the UK, which I actually cancelled my pre-order of a couple of days ago. Because I'm not sure if you remember, but I mentioned a while ago that the UK was getting like the Ultimate Collection.
Yeah.
It was like exclusive to this online retailer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what that was going to be, it was going to like be in a steelbook, it was going to have a copy of Metal Gear Solid 4, it was going to have a bunch of art cards with it, and it was going to be numbered as well. It was like going to be like 5,000 of them only in the world.
Wow.
So I thought, I'll pick that shit up. So I pre-ordered it at a fortune. It was like $69.99. And then about a month ago, I think it was, I actually got an email saying, Konami have kind of changed the contents of the package now. And bear in mind, this Ultimate Collection was only on PlayStation 3, because obviously Metal Gear Solid 4. So yeah, they said, Konami have kind of changed the contents of it now, so basically you're just going to get the game, but instead of the steel book and it being numbered and all that shit, we're just going to give you, there's going to be an art book in it, and we're going to give you a t-shirt, and then the Platinum Edition of Metal Gear Solid 4, which I can only imagine was going to be in a separate case anyway, in its normal, like, box. But yeah, they were still charging me the same amount of money. And it's like £70 just for the game.
So the difference is
and an art book and a t-shirt I'm never going to wear.
So you get a t-shirt instead of a steel book, right? That's the only difference.
I think so. Or maybe you still get the steelbook. But I think, well, when I first saw it, when I first pre-ordered it, you know, what caught my eye was it's exclusive to the UK. There's only going to be like 5,000 of these copies. And they're all going to be numbered anyway. Right. So it's going to feel like proper limited edition. And for that price, so I thought, okay, I don't mind paying that price for something that really is going to be a limited edition. And then they switched it up, and I'm not getting all that shit. but yet they're keeping the price the same.
Yeah.
And then I weighed it up, and I thought, well, I can buy the actual game for like £25. I can get Metal Gear Solid 4 brand new for an extra maybe £10-15. How can I justify an extra £30-40 for a t-shirt and a few art cards? you know? So I thought, fuck that. And I was looking at it the other day and I thought, you know what? Fuck this shit. These bastards ain't getting all that cash out of me. I've cancelled that pre-order right then and there. You know, because, like I said, I wouldn't have mind if it was really limited edition, but the fact that the Vita comes out like 2 weeks later, shit.
Right.
That extra £40, that extra £40 could go towards Wipeout, you know.
Right.
So that's a full game there. So I'm still getting it, but I'm gonna pre-order it from another place.
Well, when you do get it,
the normal edition.
When you do get it, when you get around to it, we could play co-op Peace Walker.
Yeah, cause I've still never played Peace Walker, so I'm looking forward to actually checking that out.
Yeah, that game is dope.
So yeah, so I'll definitely be getting that anyway, but just the regular edition, because it'll fuck me over right good. But yeah, so the gaming season for me starts next week, so hopefully I'm going to be putting up a lot more content on the site. I've been trying to work my ass off writing shit, so
yeah, me too. I need to go ahead and I have some stuff to write. Hopefully this week I'll get to it. I have what did I say? Oh, House of the Dead Overkill. Hopefully I'll have Saints Row beat and I could write a review for that. I have some gadgets I need to review. Some cool stuff, so. And I have a bunch of pictures to put up, so we'll see. It's going down, so check us on iTunes. Just type in Game Mangs Podcast. Drop us an email. On BrooklynKing.com, there's a contact form. Just hit us up. Comments, all that stuff, you know, by the show notes. We're on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Hit us up. And we out. We are out. We out.
Peace.
Peace. Thank you.